for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, April the 6th, 2007. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on possible routes to diseases. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
You know, there are answers. God can heal anything. But there are no quick fixes. True answers are precious. They take time. They take study. And they take applying to your life. Proverbs 25:2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search a matter out." And so, the answers are here. Psalms 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit, crowns your life with loving kindness and truth, and renews your youth as that of the eagle." Isaiah 59 says, "Behold, God's hand is not short, and His ear is not deaf that He cannot hear, but He says your sins have separated you from God." Now, God's not going to violate His word. And He's not going to do anything. But if He sees something in your life that needs to go, He's going to allow conflict to come into that area until you deal with it. And He does it for your good so that your sin can be purged. And that's the sanctification process. The Bible says that without sanctification, no man will see God. King James says, without holiness, no man will see God. And healing is for the disciples. Philippians 2:12 says, "So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Salvation means the deliverance from the molestation of the enemy. Henry Wright says that sickness comes out of the unsanctified areas of your heart and your spirit. You know, if your spirit, soul, and body, you've seen the illustrations of the spirit, and then the soul, the circles, and then the body, the spirit. The body houses the soul and spirit. The soul houses the spirit. The soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your heart, and your conscience. And your soul realm is determined, your personality is determined by the negative and positive things that have happened in your life. If they're positive, they have good results. If they're negative, it has negative results if you haven't taken it to the cross. And then because of the generational iniquities of the... Thank you so much. So your spirit, soul, and body. And then because of the negatives, because of the things that have happened to you, you haven't taken to the cross, it's caused glitches in your soul realm. And that's where you work out your salvation here. Here's where you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If you can picture everything that happens to you, if it's positive, it's like this. But because of the generational iniquities of the forefathers, you're born with glitches in your personality. Because of the things that happen to you that you don't take to the cross. And because you don't go to God, you turn to false gods in these areas. And then what's in your heart always comes out your mouth. And those of you who are counseling, just listen to what comes out of somebody's mouth and you'll know what's down here in their heart. And these are the unsanctified areas of the heart where there's glitches here in the heart, in the soul realm. If you don't deal with these things, for example, say you get you're abandoned here by your mother and father. You let the sun go down on your anger. You make a judgment that sets in motion for you to keep getting abandoned, 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 and eventually it'll work out here in your physical body in sickness. Say you're rejected by your parents, you let the sun go down in your anger, you turn to the false god, "When I grow up, I want to find somebody that loves me." And guess what? It sets in motion forces for you get rejected, 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 and all these turkeys keep rejecting you. And if you don't deal with it, eventually it'll work out right out here in sickness. Then if you go to the world for answers, then you've got breaches out here that have got to be dealt with from the effects of chemotherapy and the effects of surgery. And I think we've all had those things. And, you know, I wouldn't be so foolish to say that I'm never going to do this or never going to do that. You don't know what you're going to do. Just going to trust God to show you. And so the breaches in your heart, sickness is rooted in the breaches of your heart, things that haven't been taken to the cross. And, you know, if you make a judgment on your parent, for example, for abandoning you, you've probably forgotten most of that. And all of a sudden, you're in a relationship where you get abandoned up here again. And then you're mad at the turkey that abandoned you. And it's really rooted in a childhood issue. And so those things have to be dealt with. And God uses our pain to bring to surface what's in our heart. And I want to say this. God didn't make you sick. Sickness comes out of, it's a manifestation of a heart problem. Pain is a warning sign, and we can either cooperate with God and deal with it His way, or we can do what people usually do. They go to the world for answers, and there's no solutions. And at best, all the world can do is to help you hang in there. And God says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll wash them as white as snow. If you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. 3 John says, beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So your health and your prosperity will be in proportion to a prospering soul. And can I tell you, the Word of God is how your soul prospers? I mean, you can listen to tapes, and that may help you a little bit, but a prospering soul comes out of being in the Word and seeking God's face. That's how your soul prospers. And Revelation 3, Jesus said, I advise from you to buy from me gold refined by fire and white raiment to clothe yourself and eye salve to anoint your eyes. Now that word gold refined by fire, it in the Greek means gold that's been buried in the ground and you have to dig it out. And that's how your soul prospers, as you dig it out of the Word of God. In 1972, I believe God could heal me, but He probably wouldn't. I had low blood pressure. My blood pressure was like 85 over 60, and everything I would eat would come up and down, and go up and down for 3 or 4 hours till it was digested. And I'd done that even as a baby. My mother said I'd throw up all the time. Everything I ate, I would throw up. Well, I did that all my life. I didn't know it was abnormal. I thought everybody did it until I was about 42 years old, and then I realized, hey, that's not normal. And I went to this meeting. I went to a Milton Green seminar, and I wanted the hot shot to pray for me. I wanted Milt to pray for me, but they gave me 3 men to pray for me, and I thought, they said, well, we just come against this sickness. And I thought, that is the puniest prayer I've ever heard. And I said, well, aren't you going to pray for my unbelief? Because I believe God can, but He probably won't. And they said, well, we just come against this unbelief. And God let me have these men to show me it wasn't the man with the power. It was Jesus that healed.
Amen.
And from that day, also, I could not ride in a car or swing in a swing as a little girl without getting sick, getting car sick. I couldn't fly on a plane that I'd get air sick, car sick, whatever. Couldn't ride on a boat, anything I did, I'd get sick. And I want you to know that my blood pressure has been 124 over 74 ever since. The throwing up totally stopped. And I never got car sick a day after that. And see, God showed me from that day on, I believe God's healed me, and I haven't had a medical doctor since. I've gone a few times, a couple of times. One time just said, will you tell me if there's anything blocking in my ear? I just need to know because I need to know how to pray. No, there's nothing there. Okay, that's all I wanted to know. But anyway, it's been my experience, and after my son died of AIDS, I had a sinus infection that lasted over a year and a half. My mom and dad said, well, you better go for an AIDS test because I took care of my son. He didn't die in a hospital. He died at home. And so when I took that AIDS test, I'm telling you, the fear, I just said, oh, God, when I knew the day before I was going to have the AIDS test, I said, oh, God, I don't think I can be as brave as my son. But God, I live to serve you, and if I can serve you better with AIDS, then give it to me. But Satan, you are bound. You cannot give me AIDS. And I just died to it, and the next day I had an AIDS test, and I was not the least bit fearful. And because I knew that God heals me quicker than going to medical, then I began to seek the Lord. Why this sinus infection? I knew it was a spiritual infection. I knew it was a spiritual problem. People said, oh, no, it's not because of sin. I said, you know, I've never been sick in my life, hardly. I know that God's not happy about something. So for a year and a half, I sought God without seeking it in the Word. Lord, what it is? What is it? The Lord said it was pride in my mouth. Well, I understood about my mouth because a priest is not supposed to be lawless with his words. But I said, Lord, you know, I don't understand. I know you're right. I'm not questioning you. I just don't understand what you mean about the pride. So I pulled up every symptom I had. Had a 2-inch-high stack of computer sheets this high. My ear was stopped up. My nose was stopped up. Couldn't smell. I mean, it was for a long time. And I said, Lord, don't let any medication work if this is a spiritual problem. So I went to the doctor, and no, not one thing worked. And finally, in desperation, I pulled up every symptom I had, a 2-inch-high stack of computer sheets. It took me 3 days to repent over all those scriptures. And after a day and a half, I just said, oh, God. You know, when you do business with God, you remember what He said, and you remember which way you were sitting, and you, right? I said, oh, God. I said, you must be so sick of me. I saw so much pride in my life because I was pulling up. He said it was pride and mouth, so I pulled up tongue, pride, mouth, arrogant, haughty, words, flood, because it was like I was drowning in my own fluid. I pulled up river, judge, and when I got the river, it says the river's the judge. Oh, God, I don't know where I found that, but the Holy Spirit. I started pulling up judge, judging, repenting over all those scriptures. And after a day and a half, I said, God, you must be so sick of me. I saw so much pride because before then, I'd read the Word and I'd say, you know, my husband needs to read this. Oh, listen, this is for my daddy. Oh, this is my sister. I said, oh, God, it's not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh, Lord, in the need of prayer. I said, oh, God, forgive me. I saw so much pride. And I was, you know, I was on my own, before I got in the Word, I was prayed up and confessed up. There was not one area that I hadn't known, that I hadn't confessed, that Jesus was not Lord of my life. But it wasn't until I got into the mirror of the Word that I saw how much sin that I had. And I repented over all those scriptures, and at the end of 3 days, I was almost completely healed, except the left side of my nose was a little stopped up. So then I started looking up nose scriptures. And then when I got to the one in Leviathan that says, can you put a rope in his nose? I said, oh, God, I feel like I got a rope in my nose. I said, forgive me. I had a vision of God trying to control my mouth, and He had a rope in my nose trying to keep my mouth shut. And I said, oh, God, forgive me. And my nose opened up, and I haven't had that allergy since. And I haven't had a sinus infection. And God showed me that He sent His Word to heal me. And I want to explain to you how to do a word study. And you can go any place in the Word of God, like I'm looking at chapter 12, says verse 30, and the priests and the Levites purified themselves. They also purified the people, the gates. God, forgive me for not doing that. But let's go to one that's a little bit easier to understand. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching. Oh, God, forgive me. I've forgotten your teaching. But let your heart keep my commandments. Lord, forgive me. My heart hasn't kept all your commandments. I forgive my mother and father and forefathers. They didn't keep your word, and they didn't keep your commandments either. For length of days and years of life and peace they'll add to me. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. God, forgive me for letting kindness and truth leave me. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. God, I haven't done that. I do that now. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for not, in verse 5, forgive me for not trusting in you with all my heart and leaning onto my own and forgive me for leaning on my own understanding. Forgive me for not acknowledging you in all my ways, Lord. And forgive me for not walking straight paths. Forgive me for being wise in my own eyes. Forgive me for not fearing you and turning away from evil so that it will be refreshment to my bones and healing to my body. You see, you repent over the word, Then you forgive your forefathers, your mother, your father, your forefathers, and then you break generational curses. And if I take, you know, do all the scriptures on those, and then I do that all at the end. And the Bible says He sent His word to heal you. You know, your knees have to do with worship. Your arm has to do with arm of the flesh. In 1990, I could not do this arm any higher than right here. And if I'd have gone to the doctor, I'd still be taking something for it. And I just did a word study and saw that I got into arm of the flesh. My legs, when I would stand, I used to do 40-hour seminars, and my legs would throb for 2 weeks afterwards. I did a word study on legs. God says, God does not take pleasure in the legs of a man or a strength of a horse. I've always taken pleasure in my daddy. My daddy at 93 has always been my hero, and I've always taken pleasure in his strength. And so I repented of that. Then the Lord showed me that I used to curse my legs. They look like telephone poles. They look like I've been in a train wreck, blah, blah, blah. Then the Lord showed me. Then my mother said, oh, it's just those old varicose veins like all of us have. I said, I break that curse in the name of Jesus. And then the Lord showed me one last thing. I used to march in San Antonio when I was a cheerleader in the Battle of Flowers parade. And it's like a 15-mile parade. And God showed me that the people on the sidelines cursed my legs as the cheerleader with the ugly legs. And so today I can stand for 3 days without even sitting down and not even feel. And I'm just turned 68 years old, and I have such strength in my legs because. And see, the answer's in God's word. One time my hand felt bruised. I did a word study on left hand. Says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Oh, God, I've done that. Forgive me. You know, feet problems have to do with your past. Are you bitter and angry towards your past? Whatever you sin with is where judgment is. So it has to do with the part of your body. Head problems have to do with authority. Arm problems have to do with my strength, my power. Leg problems have to do with your faith walk. Knees have to do with worship. Your breast has to do with what you've been feeding people. Breast cancer is rooted in the lack of nurture. Bitterness towards your mother for not breastfeeding you. So it depends on where, you know, what part of the body it is. Feet has to do with path. I know people that have arthritis in the feet because, like, one lady's a hairdresser and she's bitter because her husband left her and she has to stand and work. Another man had arthritis in his feet because he was bitter because he didn't like the path that God had him on. And so it depends on what part of the body, and then it has to do with who hurt you or what you've done. Mm-hmm. Back has to do with backsliding, has to do with putting burdens on your back, has to do with people riding your back, backstabbing, you backstabbing, laying down, letting the enemy make your back a sidewalk. There's another one that says the plowed into my back. There's another scripture that says you turned your back on the Lord. A lady called me from another state. She was a pastor, and she said, I'm fixing to have surgery on my hip. And she said, do you have any insights? And I said, well, when you were a child, did you have to carry your brothers and sisters on your hip? And she said, yeah, how did you know? I said, well, the Lord just told me that. And I said, and now you're a pastor and you're carrying your whole congregation on your hip. Amen. You see, if a little child has to be the mommy and daddy and carry brothers and sisters on the hip, they're bitter about that because they miss their childhood. And in the spirit, through a soul tie with brother and sister, in the spirit, they're still on your hip. Or in the spirit, they're still on your back. You can feel a burden, and you can't see it, but you can feel it. She said, you don't have to pray for me. I'm already healed. You see, the truth, if you receive it, sets you free. Praise the Lord. And now I just want to talk about some blockages to healing. Anger, unforgiveness, living in the red zone, as Ish says. Most sickness is rooted in unforgiveness. Bitterness comes in when somebody hurts you. You get angry. You let the sun go down on it. Literally, hundreds of studies confirm that negative emotions suppress the immune system. And you heard that last night. I love what Ish said, that 6 minutes of negative thinking will affect your immune system for 20 hours. That's true. I didn't like the one about the snicker, though. I'm sure that it wouldn't be just be a Snicker. It'd be any kind of dessert that you would eat, wouldn't you think? Because of the sugar? Anyway, I'm not going to teach that one. Bill Gothard says that harmful germs and sickness cannot live in your body unless there's bitterness in your body. I want to read what he says about how anger damages your health. Every outburst of anger has the potential to damage muscle fibers in a person's heart. Anger also stimulates the adrenal glands to produce hormones called catecholamines, which strengthen a person during times of crisis. When these hormones are released in large quantities, the heart beats more rapidly and powerfully. Some blood vessels contract while others dilate, and the liver increases the level of glucose in the blood, alerting every member of the body. Now, arteriosclerosis. However, anger constricts so many blood vessels at the same time that it raises systolic pressure. This increased pressure stretches arteries beyond their elastic limits and causes microscopic lesions along their interior linings. When these linings are injured, platelets in the bloodstream accumulate at the site of each lesion to heal the wound, much like bandages. As the platelets heal the wounds, they release chemicals that attract large amounts of cholesterol, which is then absorbed by the integral lining. Each expression of anger increases cholesterol within the integral lining, making the artery walls thick and inelastic. And then how hypertension and kidney damage causes from anger. The kidney attempts to correct the problem by elevating blood pressure throughout the body by secreting excessive amounts of renin. This results in higher systolic pressure, hypertension. And then regarding high cholesterol, many people try to regulate the level of cholesterol in their blood by eating foods low in fat. However, recent studies suggest that anger and other emotional stresses contribute as much to high cholesterol as does diet. The results of unresolved, prolonged anger probably nullify any attempts to lower cholesterol levels by means of a low-fat diet. Can I tell you, I could care less about my triglycerides and my cholesterol. I don't care what it says. I'm only concerned about my sin count. My mother said, well, you better get that fat off you. I bet your cholesterol is, I said, Mother, I'm only interested in my sin count. And I'm working on the fat thing. In Jesus' name, it's coming off, I confess it. Praise the Lord. Okay, fear and unbelief, which reveals defilement of conscience. 1 John 3:21 says, if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. That means faith and trust in God. So if you have fear, it is revealing a defilement of your conscience. Fear is rooted in a guilty conscience. I love what's in your conscience or your heart or in the soul realm comes out your mouth. And Job says, my guilt teaches my mouth and my speech condemns me. That says the same thing in Matthew chapter 12, right? By your words you're justified, by your words you're condemned. It's revealing what's down in your heart. And you can nail a board over your mouth, but at some point in time it's going to come out, right? You can try to hold it. You can't tame the tongue, but you can get the heart pure so that the tongue will be pure. Amen. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so fear is faith in what the devil says. And fear, like faith, demands a response. Job said, what I fear come upon me and what I dread befalls me. If we stay in fear, we're not made perfect in love, and fear has torment. And regarding fight or flight, if you live in a fight or flight mode, Or, you know, like in stressful situations, your body is naturally made, God made you this way, that your body pours in adrenaline and hormones and chemicals and cortisol and whatever you need to cope in that stressful situation. But if every day you live in fight or flight, cortisol is a good thing, but cortisol will destroy your immune system if you continue in a fight or flight mode. You've got to stay in the green zone. And come unto Him, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He'll give you rest. And that rest keeps you in the green zone, but you have to keep repenting to be in the green zone. Now, I want to share something with you. How many of you said, you know, I forgive so-and-so, but then 2 days later, a week later, a month later, you're going, I can't believe he did. Next time they say that, I'm going to say this. Have y'all ever done that? You know why you can't forgive? Because it's a heart issue. One day I had a disagreement with somebody, and she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. And the next day, I was still arguing with her in my head. I said, God, she said she's sorry, and I said, I'm sorry. Why can't I get over this? And God said, she's reminding you of your mother. You've got some issues with your mother. And I said, well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. And the Lord said, forgive your mother for everything you don't like about her. I started forgiving my mother like that, and I want you to know it was the issue was over. Amen. Now, there's other times people say, well, Jerry, forgive me for what I said 3 days ago. What'd you say? I didn't even know you said it. You see, that's not a heart issue. But if you say the words, I choose to forgive, and it's a choice, it's not an emotion, like you choose to brush your teeth, like you choose to take a bath, I choose to forgive. You don't have to want to. You don't have to think it's right. But it's a choice. It's not an emotion. And if you choose to forgive and it doesn't go away, then you need to go back to some childhood issues, because they're probably, the turkeys in your face are pushing mom and dad buttons. And so how do you have faith? Is to have a clear conscience. And the Lord taught me this when I was pastoring a church. I got a crick in my back, and some elders came up and prayed for me. And the minute they anointed me with oil, this little voice said, you're not healed. And I wasn't. You know, if somebody's praying for your healing and the little voice says you're not healed, you're not. So the next, I kept thinking this crick's going to work out. So by the next Sunday, it was still there. So I got up before I preached that morning, and I got up and I pulled up all the scriptures on back. And it says a whip for a donkey, a bridle for a mule, and a rod for a back of a fool. And the mouth of a foolish is a rod for his back. It's a spiritual rod. I said, oh God, that's it. You know, since I've been a Christian, I don't remember ever backsliding in 46 years, because I've always wanted God and I've always got it right every day, because when I got saved, I had something to live for. But I repented over 300 back scriptures. I still had a crick in my back. When I was dressing, it was like faith rose up in my soul and said, you're healed. And my spirit man went, yes! I knew it. Still had a crick in my back. By the time I got to church, that crick was gone. And I couldn't have doubted that I had a crick in my back, and I couldn't doubt I was healed. You see, when my conscience got clear through repenting over those 300 scriptures, my conscience was clear and I had confidence before God. But as long as I've got some kind of issue down here that's manifesting up here, then I don't have a clear conscience. Does that make sense? If your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. Okay, what time is it? Okay, just a few more minutes, and then I'm going to quit. I'm going to say these quick. Pride and lack of transparency. If you don't, if you refuse to dip in the Jordan because of your pride, God says, if my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. The next barrier to healing is failure to break soul ties. When I have a soul tie, it's connected to another person that I have a soul tie with, somebody that's hurt me, somebody that I have sinned with or sinned against or who sinned against me. That soul tie bonds me to the familiar spirit of whoever I have a soul tie with. I can carry their addictions. I can carry their pain. I can carry their sicknesses. I've had people heal just through breaking soul ties. In fact, I see more people heal through breaking soul ties than any other thing. If somebody hurts you and you let the sun go down on it and they hurt your arm, for example, 20 years later, 50 years later, you've got an arm problem and you're looking for the reason, and that person that hurt your arm is still stuck to you through a soul tie. So failure to break soul ties. They have a tape here that I did on soul ties, if you want that tape. Also the one on sins worthy of death. They have it here at Lake Hamilton. And if you've been given a death sentence, I think it'll help you. And even if you haven't been, I think it may, repenting over the generational iniquities of forefathers and the sins you've committed in your lifetime, even before you were a Christian, I believe that God can use that to save your life in some future point. Another thing, the fifth barrier in healing is not dealing with unresolved childhood issues. The sixth barrier to healing is words spoken over you by others, words you spoke over yourself, words that doctors have spoken. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I'd like to talk about these, but we don't have time. Not being a disciple, which causes you to lack understanding, because only disciples have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that can understand. And see, understanding is a necessary ingredient. Understanding is the truth that sets you free. And God says in Proverbs that we're to dig for wisdom, right? And we're to dig for knowledge. And that causes our soul to prosper. Not having a prospering soul, sitting and filling your mind with stuff on the TV. Not persevering. The ninth reason is not persevering or standing and holding fast to your confession. Giving up too quick. The Lord sent a girl that had come out of Satanism to me, sent her to me in 1982. And God taught me about physical healing through her. She had over 300 different physical problems. And God healed them. And then she got to the place where after about 20 years, I couldn't, 20 or 24 years, I couldn't pray for her anymore. She wouldn't let me pray for her. And now she's back in all kinds of sickness because there's still so many unresolved issues. But it's like peeling an onion. You may have one layer, or you may have 100 layers, or you may have 1,000 reasons why you've got cancer. And what you do is you keep dealing with the layer. And then if you still have the manifestations, you deal with another layer. You keep on until you're healed. The next reason, next barrier to healing is repercussions from medical treatment. If you've had medical treatment, you've got soul ties. If you're going to a cancer doctor, he's got soul ties with all of his cancer patients. And he lays hands on you. Guess what? Gets transferred. The 11th reason, side effects of drugs you're taking. The 12th barrier of healing is making something else your refuge. Psalms 91 says, because you make the Lord your refuge, even the Most High your habitation, no evil shall befall you, nor will any plague come near your dwelling. The 13th barrier to healing is abusing your temple. The 14th reason is ignorance. God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. The next barrier to healing is unsanctified areas of the heart. 16th barrier is unconfessed sin. 17th barrier is a cult involvement. 18th barrier to healing is covenants of death, death wishes, Masons, Eastern Star, Satanism, witchcraft, being involved in New Age, the vows you made, our death curses. The 19th reason is failure to break curse, generational curses. The 20th is idolatry, whatever you're letting control you. The 21st reason is setting under doctrines that do not conform you to godliness. The 22nd reason is trusting doctors instead of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 16:12-13 says, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. His disease was severe, yet even in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physician. So Asa slept with his fathers, having died in the 41st year of his reign. The 23rd barrier is failure to remove vexation from your heart. The 24th barrier is failure to anoint with oil. The 25th barrier is failure to have a disciple lay hands on you. 26th barrier is a lifestyle of an angry, negative, agitated personality. The 27th reason is failure to enter God's rest. The 28th barrier to healing, and there could be others, is spiritual adultery. The 29th reason is committing sins worthy of death. And I want to share this last thing about pain, and then we'll be through. So all sickness and mental problems are a curse. Pain, in your mental pain, physical pain, emotional pain, and spiritual pain, and depending on what part of the body it is, it's rooted in vexation. Ecclesiastes 11:10, and the King James says, therefore remove sorrow from your heart. New American Standard says, therefore remove vexation from your heart, and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. New American Standard says, so remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. Now, the word vexation is anger and vexation, sorrow. It means provocation, which is the act of provoking or inciting something that provokes you. Fretfulness, it means fretfulness. It means inclined to be vexed or troubled, peevish, marked by worry and distress, troublesome. Sorrow and vexation means wrath, which is forceful, often vindictive anger, punishment or vengeance as a manifestation of anger. Sorrow and vexation means spite, which is malicious ill will prompting an urge to hurt or humiliate, an instance of malicious feeling. It means grief. Vexation and sorrow means grief, which is deep mental anguish that arising from bereavement, a source of deep mental anguish over the wrong of others or my own wrongdoing. You know, I can grieve over what I've done too, is that right? Hurt feelings, sorrow and vexation means hurt feelings, it means idolatry. And you can see that all of these things are rooted in unforgiveness. God says, remove that from your heart and you can put pain out of your body. Well, you know, if you have cancer or skin cancer, for example, I'll use my nose for example, I don't feel any pain, but can I tell you it's a pain to me? Can I tell you that? Whether, or any time that I sin, whether I like my sin or I don't like my sin, it causes a grief and a vexation of my spirit. So any sin is causing there to be vexation and grief down in my heart. And there's a connection between pain and soul ties. For example, if somebody has put burdens on your back or they've rode you on your back, you're bound to a soul tie to the ones who put the burden on your back. It's like they're still riding your back. I had a man say, a man who'd come out of a homosexual lifestyle, He emailed me and he said, I have an excruciating pain in my rectum. My wife and I are looking for spiritual roots. Do you have any insight? I said, yes, break soul ties with anyone you've had anal sex with, especially anyone that's hurt you there. In 15 or 20 minutes, he emailed me, said, the minute I repented and forgave and broke soul ties, the pain instantly left. I had a lady come up and she had Parkinson's disease. I said, does anybody in your family have this? He said, yes. My sister has it. I said, how do you feel about your sister? She said, oh, she's hurt me so deeply. And I led her to forgive her sister, and she was instantly healed. You see, unforgiveness imparts whatever that person you have that hurt you has. Anyway, I could go on and on about people that have been healed. One of Carla's friends at one of our meetings, she said, pray for me. I've got pain all over my body. And so it was soul ties with the people. She worked in a nursing home. It was soul ties with all of her patients. We broke all the soul ties. She said, everything's gone, but I have one pain in my feet. I said, have you ever been called a pain of the behind? She said, every day of my life. You know, words are arrows. Is that right? I said, I pull that arrow out of her seat after she forgave. She went, wow, it's gone. Amen? And so if you've been cursed as a child, you've got pain all over. It's like you've got arrows sticking all in you. And I could go on and on and on, and so stand up. We're going to stop. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you for the truth that sets me free. Why did you let me hear this? And how is my own pain related to sin? I ask for the truth that sets me free. And I want you to deal with whatever the Lord shows you and repent, forgive, break soul ties. Before we pray, I want to say this. You may not can find a word in the Bible for it, but you can put your symptoms in there. Is that right? Whatever your symptoms are, you can look up those symptoms. So Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for the sins that that you've shown me. Forgive me for unbelief and doubt. Forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. Forgive me for bitterness, fear, doubt, and unbelief. Forgive me for living in fight and flight mode. Forgive me for living in that red zone. Forgive me for not knowing your peace and living in the green zone. Show me how to get in that green zone. Forgive me for pride, lack of transparency, covering over my sin that would keep me from prospering. I forgive my mother and father, mates, every person that's ever hurt me. I nullify, make void, and cancel every word of death word of iniquity, curse and assignment that others have spoken over me and that I've spoken. Forgive me, Lord. I forgive those that have spoken evil words over me. Forgive me for not loving, abiding in Christ. Forgive me, Lord, for not bearing fruit. Forgive me for not being a disciple. Forgive me for just having a religious spirit. Forgive me for not being the soil that produces 30, 60, and 100 fold. Forgive me for not persevering. Forgive me for giving up. Lord, forgive me for taking drugs. Now, I'm not telling anybody to quit your drugs, okay? I'm telling you that as you get delivered, you won't need them, okay? And Lord, forgive me for making other things a refuge, from abusing my temple, ignorance. My soul hasn't been prospering. Forgive me for holding unconfessed sin, being involved in the occult. Forgive me for wishing I was dead. I break all satanic covenants, Masonic covenants, covenants to Eastern Star, Rainbow Girls, D-Malay, or any occult involvement. In the name of Jesus, forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for making doctors a god. God, forgive me for vexation, grief and anger, provocation, wrath, spite, sorrow, hurt feelings. Forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. Forgive me for spiritual adultery, sexual sin, and not entering your rest. Lord, I come unto you now because I labor and I'm heavy laden, and you said you'll give me rest. Lord, I ask you to yoke my neck with the yoke of heaven as I come under your control. I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, in the name of Jesus. Now every demon of sickness, distress, disease, go now in Jesus' name. We break every curse of sickness, curses of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments, out in Jesus' name. I break the power of pharmakia and sorcery, in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. All hurt, grief, sadness, sorrow, meanness, unforgiveness, torture, torment, leave in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break your power. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, let this word produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And if you've got a problem in your arm, look up arm scriptures. Look up your symptoms and repent over the word. And I believe with all my heart you'll see results. He sent His word to heal you, not folks. Praise the Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Glenn, can I ask anybody if they want to be anointed with oil that I'll do it and everybody else can go to lunch? Lord, we ask you to bless this food. I ask you to bless Tammy, bless everybody in the kitchen. Lord, we pray for this delivery of this precious baby on Monday. God, we ask that that baby be delivered by holy angels. We ask there be no complications. We thank you for that healthy, godly baby that we dedicate to you, Lord. And Lord, bless the food, sanctify it, purify it. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you want me to anoint you with oil, if you'll come, I will. And if any, maybe a few people want to pray with me, you can. And if you want to go to lunch, go ahead.
This is the end of this message. Our website is LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.